My name is Ruth Breen. I'm a postal worker and letter carrier here in Fredericton, New Brunswick. I'm the executive, I'm chief shop steward grievance officer, and also on the strike committee for Fredericton Armadillo.
So I guess to start, looks like there's going to be a strike tomorrow of postal workers. Can you just start by kind of telling me what's at stake here? What are some of the issues and the demands that CUPW is fighting for?
What's at stake here is the collective agreement that we've had in place for 40 years. Some of the concessions that Canada Post is looking for were in CUPW's very first collective agreement that was reached in 1968, which really means the concessions they're looking for take us back to our pre-organized work conditions. And what I'm speaking of here is the sick leave, the attack on our sick leave. And this is something that's been happening for a number of years. Canada Post has brought in an attendance management system that has harassed workers for taking advantage of their sick leave and encouraged workers to come to work sick and work in unhealthy conditions. So what they're trying to do is take that a step further with actually changing our collective agreement rights around sick leave.
Mm. So, I mean, basically the response of the Canada Post Corporations has been saying that the demands of CUPW are, you know, completely unrealistic. What would your response to that be?
That's a very typical stand of Canada Post. That's nothing new. We always hear the pre-negotiation fear-mongering about the state of the corporate financial situation, and now they have the added advantage of the fear of the economic collapse. But in reality, Canada Post has been a profitable Crown corporation for over 16 years. Despite the fact it's not mandated to make a profit, it has made a profit. 2009, in the midst of the world economic collapse, Canada Post had its highest profits ever at $281 million. So we don't see the immediate demise and financial insecurity that they're talking about. The numbers that they're bringing to the table include, for 2010, their financial report isn't presented yet, but it includes a $2.5 billion investment in Modern Post, which is one of the big issues for us in that their idea around modernization is changing our working conditions and making our work more dangerous. So that cost is factored into their cost analysis. We don't see how they're justifying their positions of the financial crisis as it is. Mm. We see a profitable company that's working. We're one of the most successful post offices in the industrialized world. We have among the lowest postal rates in the industrialized world. And Canada Post is working, and it's working because of the workers. Today, postal workers in Winnipeg are exercising their legal right to strike. So they'll be the first Canada Post workers out on the streets picketing. And it's appropriate that the strike begins in Winnipeg because many of the issues on the table are around this postal transformation Canada Post has taken on. And that began in Winnipeg. So Winnipeg workers have really felt the most immediate reaction to these conditions.
Mm. So the last strike of postal workers in Canada was in the 90s, 97, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere around there. Of course, you know, what people are saying is that communication has changed a lot since then. So, you know, I'm wondering if you'd speak to, like, how the terrain has changed, maybe, of course, because of the internet or other means of communication, and how that might impact what's going to happen with this strike.
Sure. So I guess I can address it on two letters because I'm a letter carrier and I'm on the street every day. So I'm seeing the mail every day, and I'm not seeing the change since I've been with Canada Post. Canada Post is putting forward numbers like 17% decline, and we're challenging them that we can only really find a 7% decline. So it is changing, but what CUPW would like to do is work with Canada Post and find ways to use the infrastructure of people and buildings that Canada Post has and expand services to meet the needs of Canadians now and the communities and the neighborhoods that we're servicing. And that could be banking and financial services, as many post offices around the world are taking on, in small communities where there's no other face of the federal government offering federal government services. So we think that as the mail volume changes, we need to look at ways we can take what we have and expand our services to meet the needs of Canadians.
Some have also been talking about back-to-work legislation, which is a possibility, of course, that the Conservative government could bring in. Do you fear for that, or do you see that as a possibility?
It's definitely a possibility. It's something that's always been there. How they write the legislation when it's a majority Conservative government is definitely a concern. But around a strike, there's so many things going on. There's so many strategies and reactions in place. You really have to stay in the moment and react to what's right in front of you at that moment.
Mm-hmm. How do postal workers here in Fredericton and New Brunswick feel about this? What's your sense of talking with other people in the union?
Sure. They're angry. They're really angry. And that really shifted. It's been a long time talking about our negotiations and our demands, and there's been ebbs and flows in how people are feeling emotionally about a potential strike. But when Canada Post put forward that first global offer, probably about a month ago, I think, it was insulting. They were angry. It for all of the workers, not even the workers that are really activist, it just felt like it was a punch in the stomach from the corporation. There was no recognition of the work we do or the profits that are garnered by our work. So they're mobilized, they're angry, they're also scared. Everyone's nervous. We're workers. We live paycheck to paycheck, and going a substantial period of time without a paycheck is a challenge and a fear, and you just deal with that every day. But there's something to be said for that moment when you realize it's time. It's time to stand up and just say no more.
Mm.
And I think that's where most of the postal workers are right now.
Lastly, so there's been some people who've, you know, put up these little signs on their mailboxes saying, I support postal workers, or even today walking around Fredericton, I noticed a little envelope that had been stuck on a postal box just expressing their support. I'm just wondering how you see little gestures like that.
Thank you is how we see those when you're the letter carrier out on the street and I come across those posters on the relay boxes. I just feel it reaffirms that what we're doing is the right thing, and that small gesture holds us up so much more when you're taking on a fight that is scary, and it is scary to stand up and say no more, and to know there's people behind you and around you that support the issues you're standing up for. It's really important. It's really appreciated.
So why not the full-blown strike right off the bat?
Right. So there's different reasons strategically for either a rotating strike or a full-blown strike. But a lot of the power of a strike is actually the threat of a strike before the strike happens. The anticipation of the strike can fuel the negotiations to a really large degree. So a rotating strike kind of keeps that momentum of the threat going a little further. Could be anywhere, anytime, they don't know. From a economic standpoint, it means the workers that are still going to work are still getting paid. Mm-hmm. So in Fredericton, we'll be paid tomorrow. And rotating allows people to still put food on the table while you're exercising your right to strike. So that's an important factor as well. But there's certainly communication challenges with a rotating strike and maintaining leadership nationally, where people follow the protocol that's established by the National Executive Board. It's very important. And that can be really difficult when you get into the passion and the power of standing up and fighting back. And then your day is over and you go back to work when the fight's still going on. That's really challenging for workers. And then the benefit of the full-blown national strike is, I guess, the obvious to most. It's the complete removal of your labor, right? And that is the main power of the worker, is the removal of their labor. Negotiations in a strike.
One last thing I want to ask you is, are you hopeful about this strike and about winning?
I remain hopeful that we'll get a collective agreement that is fair and doesn't attack our working conditions. You always want to negotiate a collective agreement. A strike is only a reaction to failed negotiations, right? The end goal is a fair collective agreement, And sometimes that gets twisted, and people think that the strike is the event or the strike is the goal. But we have to remind ourselves the goal is a fairly negotiated collective agreement that provides good wages and benefits and a safe working conditions for postal workers. That's what we want. I'm hopeful that we'll get it. I'm not sure how we'll get it, but I'm hopeful that we'll get it.